welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello and welcome to the Brother Streep Show, live at Revelations. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep, hello.
And today we're joined by Kate Pinchuk.
Hi.
Woo! And Angel Campy.
Woo.
Woo. Hello. It's an angel.
How are you guys doing? Are you, because both of you have kind of been here from the beginning of the fest.
Mm.
And now we're kind of past the halfway mark.
Yes.
We have the insight is near.
Yeah.
We have thoughts of home coming back to us and how wonderful home was. What are you most looking forward to getting back to?
I'm looking forward to being in a house that has more than one spoon.
I'm looking forward to being in a house that has a mirror. That would be nice. I've been doing my makeup in selfie mode.
How are you in your one spoon?
Yeah.
In my spoon.
Are you surviving with only one spoon? That's definitely at least three less spoons than you should have in
it
any
is.
Given house.
Well, I didn't realize that this place took self-catering to a level that I hadn't expected.
I'd be worried if I was Revelations Coffee Shop right now. I'd be like watching my spoons, making sure that you don't. Have you been tempted?
Bucketing spoons.
Oh yeah, definitely.
At the Rat and Parrot, you just see those excess spoons lying there on the floor.
Like, you know, it's so cold here. You really need to do be some spooning.
Yeah.
Lovely. The jokes come early.
I know. Got to pay attention. It wasn't well grammared though. English is still kicking in.
Yeah, it's early in the morning.
I'm looking forward to a shower with any kind of pressure whatsoever. I feel like...
Are we still speaking in the spooning metaphor?
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, it's so easy to save water here in Grahamstown because none comes out.
Yeah.
It's like full blast.
I am not looking forward to feeling guilty for taking a shower again, though.
Oh, yeah.
It has been nice to, like, wash my hair and keep the water on to clean it out.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, rinse it in a sink.
I wouldn't really trust the Grahamstown water with your hair.
Mm-mm.
We had an error in our bathroom at the venue we were playing in yesterday where we were busy sound checking, and then suddenly we just heard water gushing from the bathroom at the back, and we were quite, you know, worried about what that was. And I walked in, and there was water just spewing out of the urinal, but it was brown water. And that's kind of, that's a sight you don't want to see.
The last color water you want to see in the bathroom.
So that might be going into your hair. So just
I mean, just watch I'm not out. Planning on putting my hair in my mouth.
Or in the urinal.
Kick that habit. I mean, only one time. And that
You get labeled.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing my wife again. That's going to be fun. And eating vegetables. There's a distinct lack of vegetables around Grahamstown.
Yeah.
There is that one curry place on the green. I don't know what it's called, but they do a curry, and they gave me a little portion of butternut. It was cold, but it was cooked. So I've had three cubes of butternut this whole time. I feel like that's why I haven't died.
Grahamstown's quite anti-banting.
Yes, they are.
Although the pop-up restaurant at the Scout Hall, I would give them a shout out because they have like roast lamb and lamb shank, and it comes with sweet potato and veggies and everything.
That sounds good.
We did have their lamb, I think, 2 years ago, back when they realized... Well, they hadn't realized yet that they could charge a lot more for it.
Yeah, it is expensive now.
It's kind of sort of...
Yeah, we were like, lamb shank, 40 rand. Sweet, let's go.
We're in.
Two for one.
I'll have five.
And then they sold out and everyone else cried.
The Scout Hall is actually... they've recently discovered, I think, that they can charge a lot more for just everything. Because also, around about that time when we were just feasting on lamb shank every night, we'd buy sherry there and they'd give it to us in one of those sort of... plastic beer containers you get at the cricket or rugby, but just full of sherry for like 10 rand.
Yeah, no, it was great.
And
it was great and awful at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kate, I looked at your Twitter in research.
Well, that's embarrassing.
In research for this. I think the last two tweets you did were from January 2013 and December 2012.
That sounds
right. I quite liked it. December 31st, 2012, you said the end is a nigh. That's a good joke. But
that's
anyway,
my first and only tweet.
You're
never going to top it.
Your little blurb says, really into falafels. So
does it?
Yeah. Are you really into falafels?
Oh, I am really into falafels. Are my favorite food.
And
so that hasn't
sub
changed.
Question, have you found really good falafels here at the festival?
You know what? I don't want to... badmouth the falafel place.
but
they were subpar this year.
Subpar.
Every year festival, all I care about, I'm just waiting for falafels and chip and dip. And this year the falafels were dry.
Okay, that's not good.
And they tasted weird. And so,
do you make your own falafel at home?
Oh no,
no,
what
you
is
never
a falafel.
What do you mean?
It's
what is a
like
falafel?
Chickpeas
made into a ball.
Yeah, you grind
so
it up.
So one falafel
like
is one ball, or one falafel is the meal.
One falafel is like a ball. It's called like a falafel ball.
Right.
So
you just eat one falafel?
No, you gotta eat like three or four at least.
To be filled. And five. Do they come inside a bowl of falafels?
Or like a pizza, or like with vegetables. Yeah. Falafel okay. Pizza. It's like a classic classic dish.
Not a man named Peter.
Yeah.
Peter loves his
although
falafels.
That I'll also have. I'm on board for
just,
that as well.
I've just never had a falafel
You've never had a falafel.
They're very
I had
good.
Them once. I wasn't impressed. I'm sorry.
Oh, you might have had the wrong kind of falafel.
Maybe I had the subpar.
Yeah, you probably have a dry falafel.
You're a Cape Townian person. There's a really good falafel place on that like Sea Point main road. I think it might
where
just
would you
be
recommend?
Muesenberg. There's a place called Yofi
Falafel.
You've
not gone for the complete opposite direction.
I know. I don't know. I don't know the Sea Point.
It seems personal.
Actually, there is a really good like shawarma place on Sea Point. I don't even know if it has a name. And that's where you want to get your falafels. Yeah. At a shop that has no name.
Definitely.
Just one sweaty dude.
Just the Coca-Cola brand.
Yeah, just the Coca-Cola sign. And it's like 20 rand.
Do you buy a falafel at a place you can buy airtime? That's
yes.
kind of what you...
Nice. That's where you should be buying your falafels.
Angel, what is your preferred meal besides your Scout Hall shout out?
What,
at the
here?
Festival,
at
yeah.
the festival? Oh, well, just Scout Hall. That's where I've been eating.
Is it? Is that where you live?
Yeah. Well, because it's the Bowling Green is there, yeah. and that's the warm pub to drink at the Bowling
it
Club.
It is. Well, they don't have the beer license for the beer tent on the Village
exactly.
Green this year, so it feels like Kenny's yeah. at the Bowling Club is like the place to be.
There, and all the comics are yeah, always there. Last night they were doing a non-music, an a cappella karaoke night.
Man, we missed
I got
out.
Some. You must check my Instagram story. That's kind of maybe why my voice sounds so husky right now.
Oh, nice, we'll
you're doing the bass.
But it was like they'd sing a song and then everyone else would jump in if they knew it. So you'd be like, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and then everyone would be like, but then you'd start a song and then you'd have to commit because sometimes they wouldn't pick up on it. It'd be those awkward people like, what's love got to do? Got no, okay.
Yeah, no one listens
I'm out.
To that.
I don't know that song.
The Bowling yeah. Club has its own sort of little food place that's labeled
like a tuck shop.
Yeah, it's labeled the funniest food at the festival.
Really?
I don't know if you want your food
funny.
To be the funniest food.
Yeah. Do they like draw a smiley face in it?
I don't know what makes it the funniest, but generally speaking, if something's looking pretty funny in my fridge, I'll throw it away.
It's actually really good, the Burning Club food.
Okay. What do you recommend from the Burning Club?
Falafel.
Well, I've only eaten, yeah, I mean, it went. I ate some of Madenga's chickpea stew and that was really good.
They've got a vegetarian curry
yeah,
that everyone's saying
so
is good.
And their drinks are so cheap.
Yeah. 13 rand for a beer.
Yeah.
Yes, that is good.
It does seem that like Grahamstown has somehow figured out a way to get really cheap alcohol. And it's kind of worrying in some ways.
Well, they're still under the ANC, so there's corruption.
Yeah.
or something.
Yeah, it must
it's
be.
All just about to expire. Like all alcohol in Grahamstown is like 2 days from expiring.
Yeah, best before tomorrow.
It won't go to waste. It just won't. Wesley's around.
What happens to alcohol when it expires, though? Wine gets better. Beer just gets more potent.
Yeah. There used to be, the union used to have, when I studied here, they used to have a clearance sale at the end of every term when they got rid of their alcohol.
Oh, wow.
And it was like one round a shot. It was all like, today this alcohol expires.
Oh
so it was
God.
All super cheap. So
tomorrow
you'd go
it's like rubbing alcohol for a hospital.
Tomorrow you'll die, but today...
Tomorrow you'll cleanse your wounds.
I looked into expiry dates at some stage and it seems like the general thoughts around it is that most of it's just nonsense. Like apparently medication, like you actually can just take it far
really?
After the expiry date. They just have to put one in just in case, you know,
something
it
goes
turns
wrong.
Blue and kills you.
But what about milk?
Yeah, well,
okay,
yeah.
Well, milk.
That one's self-fulfilling. You don't
exactly.
need the thing, you just need your nose.
Yeah. See, we've been throwing out our milk slightly earlier than expiry because Simon's been smelling it and going, I don't know about this.
No.
But I think the reason is our fridge is super loud, so we turn it off at night. So I think it could be that.
Our fridge is strange. Like when he means super loud, he means properly loud. Like what's weird about it is that you'll switch it off and it will still make noise for a good half an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like
just
a waterfall
settling down.
Is that at your house or here?
Here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We don't have
at
a
home is
a
just
shared
your thing.
Fridge.
I don't know.
We're not actually brothers.
So, Angel, last year you weren't here because you were jet-setting around New York.
I was indeed.
What made you decide to leave the comforts of Grahamstown to go to the shabby New York City.
I had done a 3-week tour in April of New York, and it had gone surprisingly well. And then obviously the same as any comedy industry, the buzz had started, but then the big clubs had started emailing me saying, oh, we'll book you in July, are you available? And obviously I was like, oh, I'm back in South Africa.
Yeah.
Then my producer, aka Sivengezi, was like, well, you're an idiot if you don't go back and play like Gotham and the New York Comedy Club and these amazing places. So he and I was like, yeah, but I can't afford to go back to New York. And Sivengezi, as the producer with money, was like, well, what I usually give you budget for Grahamstown, I will give you budget for New York, because I think that's, as a producer, a better investment.
And, and it works for Siv, because then Siv's name is now flying around New York. That's just I've noticed something about Siv, and he won't even mind me saying this, because he just, even if no one listens to this podcast, he'll be happy that he was mentioned.
Yeah, we said his name 5 times in a morning. He said one more time he's going to appear.
So contract.
So, but yeah, that's literally what happened. And I just thought I could go to Grahamstown, and I literally took the same budget, which gives you an idea how expensive Grahamstown is for us artists. And with that budget, I bought a plane ticket and then had food budget, because I did couchsurfing.com. So I stayed for free. Strangers couches, and which actually I was surprisingly lucky, and it gives you great material
to tell.
Yeah, and you and meet diseases. The most. I literally stayed with a family of Hasidic Jews who were flipping a house, and they had a house that they left for empty, and the guys would come and like bri once or twice a week, and literally roll up joints and have a little like chatsy with everyone, and because they can't do that in their own community, and then when they would leave, they were like, here's your keys. This is your house.
This is where you control.
And yeah, so there were a few girls who were couch surfing there, and it was like a hostel. So that was great.
That does sound great. What? Who was the best host when you're couch surfing?
Well, definitely the Hasidic Jews. They were like, "Welcome to your new home," and they were like, "They gave us a cleaning service twice a week, and they would send over groceries." They were incredibly wealthy people who aren't really allowed to socialize outside of their community at all. So they would use the couch surfing platform to now make friends with non-Jewish, like, what are we called?
Goyim.
Yeah.
Goyim.
Infidels.
That's not a nice word. Yeah. I said it.
But it was, and it was also incredibly.
Cause yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Muggles. Yeah. It was like
muggles. Yeah.
Very nice.
And you know, even for us, it's eye-opening, because you see those people and they look kind of Amish because they wear those top hats and they have those curly sideburns. And you see them everywhere in New York and Brooklyn. They're a huge community. Mm. But you sort of, like, they're the muggles. You're like, what is this? But then now I realize these people are like just chilled and they're down. Yeah. And if you can get them on a one-on-one, but in public they're not. And I'd see
they
sometimes
move in packs.
I'd bump. They do.
They do.
And I'd bump into them in the subways that when they're by themselves, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And we'll hug them. And then later, one of them are like, oh, Joseph said you hugged him hello, and everybody saw you touch him in the public. And I'm like, oh, was I not supposed to do this?
They're not allowed
like,
to touch women.
Yeah, and I totally like in my little sundress was like, what's up?
I feel like the that makes sense, because I don't think you would be stressed if you were wearing a top hat. I think, have you ever seen anyone in a top hat that's looked like really stressed out, like they're not meant to be there? I think the moment you put on a top hat, it's just
smooth sailing from there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Maybe so, Abraham Lincoln was a bit stressed.
He had quite a lot on his mind.
The final hours.
Yeah.
Was the tour a success? Did you enjoy touring around
you know
New
what,
York comedy clubs?
What is interesting, we look at New York as comics and we think that is the mecca, that's the apex. Mm. So obviously, even when I went the first time in April, I was very humble. I was like, even if I don't get on stage, I'm just going to watch and learn.
Yeah.
And fun fact, our level here, I would say, is as high, if not higher, than the average level in New York. Obviously, the best of the best are there. I'm not saying we're better than the best of the best. Mm. But the average underground comedy club is like an open mic night equivalent in South Africa. And our mid-level comic here can headline there at their average clubs. And this is going out on the internet, and I feel like I'm going to get hate from a New Yorker who listens to this. But my point is that we need to believe in South African comedy more.
Definitely. Yeah. I think we were even discussing this the other day with another act that we may or may not have seen at the festival. We weren't badmouth them, but they were one of the more international acts, and we were kind of saying that like they were very good, but they're not necessarily, just because they're international doesn't mean that they're better than our local
stuff. You've
seen
better stuff at the festival and you've seen worse kind of thing.
Mm. Exactly. I think we do have this idea that everything is sort of, the grass is green on the other side, but the truth is that even from the kind of 6-ish or 7 years that we've been involved maybe on the local comedy scene, so we kind of started in the music scene and then edged our way into the comedy scene. Like our acts are getting better and better every year and like more diverse every year. It's really exciting to see.
Yeah. So when he says our acts, that might have been ambiguous. I think you mean South African.
Yeah.
I understood that.
Not the Brothers
Street. Yeah, no.
It's getting better and better. It is getting better and better. It's not getting more diverse. No, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And Kate, no, how long? True. So you come from a drama theater background, but are now edging into the comedy scene. How long have you been doing stand up for?
I've been doing stand up for like just over a year, which has been super fun. I started doing improv comedy when I was studying here in Naturally Caffeinated. Shout out to
Nat Caff.
What a name. It was named by a Canadian, so
it's not our fault.
It's kind of like a mockery of Civ's decaf, though.
Oh, that's so true, actually. I think, yeah, I don't know which one was first.
Careful, two more mentions and he will.
Yeah, he's going to get it. No, so yeah, I started doing improv when I was studying. I studied drama here and then started emceeing shows. And then when I'd emcee, I'd like tell a joke. And then I was like, I wonder. And then last year, I was sort of being an unemployed actor. And I was like, well, this is shit.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do. And then was like, I'm going to do some stand-up.
Well, let me jump in there while you're listing some of your skills, because I've got some more here. I've got, and you can correct me if these are wrong, but ballet, modern dance, physical theater.
If you looked at my CV on my agent's website, I may have over-exaggerated.
Can you horse ride?
Yeah, harp, that's true.
Clowning?
Did you download my CV?
I did, no. I just, you know, I wanted to find some stuff out.
Yeah.
I tried to click on what looked like your Facebook link, but then when I clicked on it, it was like, this is somebody else, and then it was spelled slightly differently, and they were from another place.
Russia, probably.
It was Russia. You know her. But now, how did you get into the harp?
I was like 7 and I was like, I want to play the harp because it's
nice. Oh, your parents must have hated you though.
Yeah, they were like, oh, don't you want to rather play like recorder?
Violin.
That's portable. And then they made me do piano for 2 years and were like, if you still want to do harp after this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, that's what I'm doing. And then, yeah, I started playing the harp. It's a very impractical instrument.
Yeah.
I do not own a harp because it's like $100,000 to buy one.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. It's literally like to buy a big harp with the pedals is like 120,000 rand.
Can I ask a technical musical question? Because we play guitars that obviously go out of tune and you have to tune them before each performance, and there are only 6 strings. Do you have to tune a harp before every performance?
You do.
Or do they stay?
No, harps are like the most temperamental instruments. If it's like a little bit cold, it goes out of tune. If it's warm, it goes out of tune. If you move it, you have to like put a blanket. If you play it, if you just like look at it. Yeah, if you think about it. No, and then you have to tune each string.
So guardian angels are really not paying attention. Oof. They're just working on their harps.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They're just tuning their harps.
Hello.
Morning.
Morning, morning. You'd think by now they'd give up.
You would.
I
would. And like the inventor of the harp, he just stuck it out. Yeah. He was like, stay with me, guys. I'm going to make this thing work.
It looks flipping heavy, too.
It is. You mostly play a minstrel harp because that's portable.
Okay.
I can carry that.
And clowning? Yeah, that's mostly clowning. So what do you prefer then, the acting or the stand-up? Stand-up being more fresh.
I don't know. I guess I like both. I like doing both those things because it gives me different elements to enjoy and work on and whatever. Stand-up is definitely more fun, I'd say, and like it's easier in some ways because not like it's harder for sure as a skill, but it's easier because I just have to pitch up and just be me.
Yes.
I don't have to memorize lines. No one has to audition me and be like, you get into this. It's not a whole other cast.
That was what I found when I started stand-up. I was like, wait, I get to write, direct, and star.
Yeah, exactly.
This is amazing. Exactly.
Just not produce. That's something else.
I'd rather not produce.
I've always thought that it would be quite difficult to do theatre because your natural instinct, if something was to go wrong or happen in the audience, is you'd want to sort of mention it or work with that or do something. And stand-up allows you the ability to, at that moment, do something.
Nothing can go wrong. It just adds to the show.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then, but in a theatrical setting, you're trapped. You're trapped by the script.
Exactly. You're like, literally, our show, Jack and Joel, 2 days ago, there was a cockroach just running around the stage for like the whole second half. And we were both looking at it and I could see the front row watching it and going like, every time it came close to us. And, like, and I was, we were both like thinking, like, is there a moment we can step on this cockroach and run it?
Well, in Grabstown, at least it's another audience member. Yeah. Angel, have you ever thought of going into the theater world?
I was a failed actor before I became a stand-up.
Okay. All right.
And because since I was a four-year-old, I enjoyed speaking and I was never scared of that stuff.
Yeah.
I just keep speaking that way. I'm ignoring That's you fine. On this side. I'm sorry. But you know, when you're a little girl and everyone's like, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I thought, well, I enjoy speaking, so I guess an actor. Mm. Because I knew I was funny always. And all my school reports I used to write, she's got a great sense of humor. But as a
Pity
woman...
about the work. Yeah, she makes
exactly.
us laugh.
She's really funny. And I was always very good at creative writing, and writing is my other skill. And my matric teacher was like, please be a writer. And I was like, no, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be an actress. And as a female, that was what was interesting, is everyone kept telling me I was funny. And I never thought maybe I should do stand-up because it's never really been an avenue for women.
Mm.
And only when I was 28, living with my roommate, who is Sivangezi.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Siv.
No, but he's the person, because I used to blog and my Twitter were funny. And he was like, well, you really, you know, people think you're funny. Why don't you get on stage and do that?
Give it a try.
And I was like, yeah, because I'd been going to auditions and I used to try modeling and all that. But what I said in my first special, my first show, Yes, Really Angel, when I was a model and a failed actress, I was like the girl next door and the friend. And like, they're like, can you downplay? Your face has this ugly thing. And can we put her at the back? And like, oh, she's not quite pretty enough. Maybe change your hair, because if you're blonde, people need you to be hotter. You can do better as a brunette. And like, then I started stand up and people were like, yeah, you're too good looking to be a stand up. And I was like, wait, what? Where's this industry been my whole life?
So you brought it up now, so we may as well talk about it. We were debating in the show, before the show, like, should we mention, like, because it must be pretty annoying kind of when people interview you being like, what's it like being a female comedian?
We don't have a comparison.
But now you brought it up, so we'll just...
Well, I don't know
what you've done, Angel.
What's it like being a boy in comedy?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, is there a marked difference of feeling like you guys are sort of different, or is that changing? I hope it's changing. That's what I want to find out.
I mean, I don't know how it is for Kate. I think everyone can't speak on behalf of each other.
Yeah.
But I haven't found at all that the guys in comedy are sexist to me at all.
Okay.
The biggest problem, because in comedy, I'm sure you've all found, if you're funny, you're funny. You're in the club. Doesn't matter where you're from, what color you are, what religion you're in.
Yeah.
And that's been the state from comedy. Of course, when you're hanging out, I actually said to KG the other day, I'm like, yeah, but you guys still treat me like a girl from time to time. And he was like, that's because you are a girl. And I was like, I suppose they can't suddenly just be like, she's a bro, and punch me in the chin, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's probably a good thing,
because that is what guys do. Yeah. We just walk around punching each other in the chin.
Bro!
You're a bro.
But where I do find it is a little bit difficult is audiences. When you walk out, you can sometimes feel them like, oh, we're not sure.
Yeah.
Because just collectively, internationally, girl comics, and this is not because girls aren't funny. My argument is, if you see 10 comics, one of those 10 will be your favorite.
Mm.
And the odds of that one of those 10 being a girl in the first place is small. And then if you saw one girl in those 10 and she wasn't funny, then you're going to go, oh, all girls aren't funny.
So
you don't have a basis for
numbers
comparison.
It's just because there are more men. And Kate, how have you found things?
Angel and I were talking the other day about audiences, and we've both in different places gotten the same exact heckle, which I think is ridiculous. And the heckle is from a dude in the audience who went, I just swiped right on you on Tinder. You're going to swipe right on me. Which is, outrageous.
Is that a heckle, though? What is
isn't right swiping right?
It's a good one, but it's like it's derailing.
Yeah.
It is
not
derailing.
It's not live Tinder.
No.
You know? We're doing jokes.
It would be worse if the heckle was, I just swiped left. And you'd be like, well, I didn't even ask you to be on Tinder in the first place. Yeah. Why are you doing that?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been heckled that, actually.
No, I took out my phone on stage when he said that and opened Tinder and just started swiping no without looking. I was like, if you were there, sorry, buddy.
Nice.
That's fair enough. I think it's time we play a game, and now you guys can think of one of your own ones if you want to play after us.
Yeah.
But this game is true or false. We'll say a statement about ourselves or our lives, and you get to decide whether it is true or false, and we'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
So I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, here we go. Here's the fact. In high school, I was bullied in the most stereotypical of ways and shoved into a locker for the entire break time.
Do we have lockers that big? Yeah.
Where did you go to school? Are we allowed to ask questions?
Yeah, yeah, you definitely.
Unpack away.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Birkfleet High School.
Okay, that's kind of gangster.
No, it's more believable.
Yeah. That's
kind of a harsh neighborhood.
I'm going to interject here because I went to Birkfleet as well. And it definitely wasn't that gangster.
So, and then how were you trapped in the locker for the entire break?
Yeah.
Okay, because surely you would start knocking and someone loved you enough to open.
I did knock, but everyone was out at break, Angel. So the story is airtight.
Did everyone have a locker?
Just like the locker.
Did everyone have lockers?
No, you actually had to pay for a locker. So some people chose not to have a locker, or their parents chose for them
to
not have a locker.
So they were like, you're privileged, you have a locker.
Yes, I think it might have come down to...
Let's see what it's like.
How much you love your locker now.
Yeah. I was trapped in it because there was a lock on it. I couldn't get out until they opened the locker.
And so how did they get you out?
Yeah.
The same people who locked me in unlocked it at the end of break.
So was it a combination lock or was it a key lock?
No, it was a key lock.
And they had the key.
They had the key.
Because imagine you had the key inside. Then they'd have to get the fire station involved.
I always have a key under my tongue. Just in case.
I'm sure Stuart Little could give you...
Stuart Little?
With the mouse.
What's the magician's
Light
name?
Light Body.
Stuart
Little. I think
Stuart Little can work.
Oh man, I would love it if Stuart Lightbody changed his name to Stuart Little.
And then changed himself into a mouse.
Yeah.
Now that's magic.
Yeah, well done.
He should end his show like award
winning.
So there's my facts.
Okay.
They're my little
bit. I also think it's true.
Well, that's interesting. I feel offended.
You
it's
know,
completely
well,
false.
I just believed you. You
just
feel
lied
offended.
Really well.
It could be a believable story, I guess. No, the lockers
You do look like more butch. You look like you may be bullied.
No. Hells no. No, I was never this fat. I was a weed. But yes, your first thought that the lockers are just too small was probably the most correct.
Yeah.
They were like pigeonhole.
Yeah.
You could have put Stuart Little into the locker, but not Dylan.
Thank you.
All right. My truth or lie is that I once got stuck backstage in the Scout Hall for a whole entire performance of Bitch Stole My Dick.
There's a family trend of getting stuck places.
Yes, Street Brothers do tend to get stuck quite a lot.
What is Bitch Stole My Joke?
Well, this
my
is
Duke.
This is a show that was
that would
on
be a great show. Bitch Stole My Joke. Just comics tearing at each other.
This was a show that was on last year and the year before last year, and it was. I think we can talk about a show that's come and gone. It was crazy successful. It sold out all its shows, and we'd seen the poster and we thought, we don't understand how this can be this successful. So we thought we'd do some investigation into ourselves and go watch the show.
Yeah.
And it was an hour.
It wasn't for us.
That's the first critique
we've
you can give it.
That the,
there was time
the
that passed.
The nicest thing to say is it wasn't for us.
Yeah, so it wasn't for us.
That is the
because it was
thing
clearly
to say.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were loving it.
But but anyway, in the first year that I came here, we were also performing in the same venue and I'd left something backstage. And so I thought I could quickly have enough time to go get what I'd left backstage. But I hadn't really calculated it the best way possible and started to realize that people had started coming in and she already is out there sort of hanging up stuff on the line as people come in.
Yeah, so the set for Beast on My Duck is a washing
line. You already
line.
Said it. Why did you censor it now?
Because I've decided to censor it now.
There's a baby in the crowd. It's going to be his first word.
That baby's heard worse.
Yeah,
his
duck.
First word is duck. Yeah, so there's a washing line and a bunch of washing on it and some stuff and she stands there at a washing line and does this whole play to the audience.
And it's quite awkward because you guys have played the Scout Hall before. That backstage isn't exactly
very small.
It's very cramped. And
it's very small.
I'd already sat through the show once. I wasn't that keen.
Did you at least have your phone with you? So you
sit
could
through it again. I did have my phone.
Yeah, he was texting me.
But
going, I'm stuck behind.
Well, this
I was
is
like,
definitely
I'm not
true
in.
Because
I'm
you guys are
in.
Collaborating and there's far too many details.
Well, I want it to be true so much that I'm going to say I think it's true.
And Angel, there are points in this.
It's definitely true because he's even collaborating.
Yeah. Well,
corroborating.
You guys are very sweet, but it's actually false. It's
oh
not
my
true.
God.
I'm just as good a liar
lying.
In other stories. I've
stop
never heard this
you
one
guys.
Before.
Such open angelic faces. And
yeah,
you lie with such straight faces. I'm
thank
no
you.
Longer trusting you.
That's so
I
nice
wish that was
guys.
True.
I also wish that was true. That would be a good story. I've never gotten stuck. I know a friend that got stuck in sort of the ladies' bathroom before. Sort of went in thinking it was a men's.
Oh, yeah.
Was in a cubicle when other ladies sort of started arriving. And he was was just too nervous to sort of pop his head out and be like, all right, guys.
And imagine they uncover him while he's hiding.
Yeah.
Even more creepy.
True. Totally true. He's been in that bathroom for like half an hour. Yeah,
like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that's much worse.
Why don't we ask Angel what her show this year is actually about? Now that we've got to know you, let's, you know, plug your show a little. Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, well, I named my show Devil's Advocate because I thought it was hilarious because it's a pun.
Yes.
Because my name is Angel, in case no one caught that. And so I was just driving one day and thinking about my new show, and I was like, Devil's Advocate, why didn't I think of this before? Hilarious. Also because my comedy is quite controversial. No, it's like unpopular opinion. I talk about uncomfortable topics, nothing crude or anything, but, you know, a broach on apartheid and politics and white people start being like, oh, but it's all in good fun. So I thought Devil's Advocate would be a good name. And then as I started writing the show, I started finding that the name Devil's Advocate was actually very, very open to a lot of material, because suddenly I realized there was all aspect of topics I could talk about and be like, well, no one really wants me to talk about this, but I'm the devil's advocate, so here we go. And it was quite liberating to then write a whole show around kind of uncomfortable, taboo, funny topics. Yeah. Everything from grandparents telling you to wear good underwear in case you get hit by a bus.
I love that. I love that routine, because we've seen the show and it was very funny to me, but also very eye-opening, because as a boy person or someone who identifies as a boy person, I've never had a grandmother worry about what underwear I was wearing.
Well, really? I can genuinely say that my mom has had that conversation with me before as a boy.
Really?
Yeah. Just she's it goes both ways. Sometimes people are worried about just the normal underwears, the normal boxer shorts being clean. So it's
And being clean is the one that boys get, because I get audience members shouting out skid marks, male ones. Yeah. But girls, like the first time my grandmother pointed it out to me, it was still when I was in training bras and used to buy like a tube of like four bras from Woolies. Yeah. And they didn't have any wire. They were just little handkerchiefs sewn together really. And they came in like some pastel colors. And I had like a peach one and I was wearing like red cotton undies and I had a peach bra on, and my nana walked in when I was getting dressed and she was like, oh, you can't wear a peach bra with red undies, those colors clash.
You're an embarrassment to the family.
And I was like, who's gonna see it? And she said, what if you get hit by a bus? Okay. I was like, all right.
So it rings true.
It was all about and even I've done it in overseas and audiences resonate, so grandmothers internationally really care.
Must be a memo that gets sent out to everyone when they hit a certain age. It's like, all right, this is what you're going to have to start caring about. Knitting. You're going to have to learn how to knit if you don't know how to knit already. Yeah. No offense, Jess.
you're set individual. For old age.
You're going to have to start enjoying beetroot. Because that's... we still got to like... Oh, there needs to be a beetroot market, and the young people aren't going to eat it. So at least let's get the old people in. And then, the underwears.
But it's amazing how audience members, that resonates with them, and they often offer me their own grandparents' stories after the show.
Oh, I'm so glad you said own grandparents' stories and not own underwear. That's where I thought that was going.
If anyone wants to mail me fresh underwear, not pre-used.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's mailing fresh underwear to anyone.
There is. There's a service called Lingerie Letters, and you pay 200 rand a month and you get a pair of panties in the mail every month, like fun, pretty, lacy ones.
Oh, that sounds good.
Someone gave me a subscription. People are signing up for that for the wrong reason.
They're not pre-owned.
Like middle-aged guys.
It's really fun. Someone gave me a 6 month gift subscription once, and then every month you get
surprise,
like
exciting
a letter, and then you open it and it's different lacy.
I've only just recently subscribed to a magazine.
Yeah,
I didn't know that there were other things out there that you could subscribe to. That's really exciting.
Yeah, but let me tell you the one story someone told me after a show. They said my grandmother tidies her house when she goes on holiday in case they get burgled when they're out of town. And the burglars will judge her.
What a stressful way to live. To be thinking about that stuff in the back of your head. I don't have room for that.
Yo. And someone else's grandmother washes the dishes before bed in case she dies in her sleep.
Oh. Well, that is at least, that's nice.
That is at least
imagine having to deal with going into your grandmother's house and like the disappointment of her not being alive, and then going, and I've got these dishes to clean. That's
grand. Come on.
Could have at least washed the dishes.
Yeah.
Cool. Kate, tell us about your show.
So
shows, because there were two shows.
Yeah, well, Jack and Jill is the show that I wrote and developed with my friend, who's a wonderful actor called Ryan De Villiers. And it's about two artists who want to be suffering artists, but are like sort of privileged narcissists.
Yeah.
And are trying very hard to live interesting lives. And it's like about how the narratives we've read and watched influence us, and we try to play those narratives out so they sort of are in quite a dysfunctional relationship. They shouldn't really be together, but they're trying to play out this romance narrative.
And how much of it was drawn inspiration from your own two lives? I'm hoping the answer is little.
I think in terms of like the narrative, definitely none. But the concept, I think they've been talking about a lot and been writing around for like a long time. Yeah. And
well, there had to be some life experience in there because it was acted like brilliantly.
I saw
the thing and it was that is spot on, these two characters.
Yeah. I want to know, how do you go about writing with this other guy, with Ryan?
With great difficulty. I forgot how hard it was to write a play, and then I was like, why have I made this the thing I wanted to do?
Yeah.
So I guess we chatted a lot, we discussed a lot about what the ideas were and where they could go and who these, and it's also cool to get to create characters for yourself.
Yeah.
Cause I like have often historically been cast like at university as like middle-aged divorcee woman. I'm like the fun character actor. I never get to be like a romantic lead.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna write this for myself now.
You Lena Dunham that script.
Yeah, I Lena Dunham that script.
Well done.
Yeah, we discussed it a lot, and then I would write scenes, and then we'd read the scenes and act them out and kind of improv around them.
Yeah.
And then I'd rewrite, and then we'd improv around that. And so it was like a lot of improvising around finding the characters and then writing, and then improving around those scenes and then rewriting. So it was like a lot of writing and rewrite. And this is also only like the first real draft, like after festival, I'm going to go home and rewrite it again.
Mm. That's interesting to hear.
Yeah, because I feel like you can't really see if it works until you've done it on stage.
Okay.
And
when you improv, do you like record it so that you can remember everything, or do you just try?
I mean, we really should. That's a good idea. No, we just improv. We like improv for like 10 minutes, whatever. And then afterwards I write down things that came up that were funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, the physical comedy element to it, specifically the stuff you're doing throughout the play, is just so, so funny.
This is great.
Man, this is fun.
So you guys are in the same venue-ish, and you have one of the nicest door ladies
out of every
venue that we've been to.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
She's kind of like a warm-up act.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Is that the lady with the curly hair?
Yes.
Like those little tendrils.
She's tearing tickets. She's doing comedy. It's amazing. So funny. She's like, who's with who here? If there's like a couple of like a party of four. Yeah. Like, oh, none of us. Okay, good. I know who I can get with now, kind of thing.
That's amazing.
Extra hug today. That's amazing. I didn't know she was doing that.
Yeah.
She
was very cool.
It is fun to be in the Masonic as well, because as nice women, I don't think they would ever have allowed us in.
That's true.
I'm kind of confused by the Masonic, because my understanding of the Freemasons was that it was meant to be quite secretive.
It's a
very big, blatant building.
Yeah, with all their names on the wall. These are all our top achievers.
They only take the invisibility cloak off during festival.
Yeah, and then it's
back. And then it's back to Diagon Alley.
Well, it has a big, like, karate school sign outside it, actually.
That is also strange. The thing is, because the Freemasons are dying, they thought, what's another thing that is also dying that we can sort of
join forces with?
It's like when a church meets in another church. It's always very confusing.
Totally.
Churchception. Angel, you mentioned gremlins in your show, and I like that because I feel like I'm one of the only people that seem to be championing the Gremlins film and a potential reboot of Gremlins.
I rewatch Gremlins every Christmas because it is a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm. I love those fringe Christmas movies.
Die Hard.
It starts with, it's Christmas, that Christmas song. This is Christmas.
It is, but I don't know, what is your preference, Gremlins 1 or Gremlins 2?
1, because it's Christmas.
Oh, but Gremlins 2 is more of a comedy though.
Yes, fair, but...
And they sing New York, New York in it. I want you to revisit Gremlins 2, please.
I will. I haven't revisited it in a long time.
There is homework to
revisit Gremlins 2.
Yes, I do reference Gremlins. That was just a random improv when my director and I were rehearsing, and she laughed at the line where I make fun of my fake back knee, and then she was like, you were so hot, and now suddenly you've made yourself gross, and I'm like, man, don't feed me after midnight, and then she fell on the floor laughing, so I was like, well, I'm adding that into my show.
Rightly so. I think the more Gremlins, if you could actually bring up a purely Gremlin show next year,
yeah,
I think
Angel can't be in purely Gremlins.
Purely Gremlins.
produced by the Brother Street.
Yes.
With assistance by Sivengezi.
Finally.
He's still in it.
All right. We like to ask the big question on this podcast, big meaty philosophical stuff. Mm. Today is no different. If global warming is so bad, then why is it so lovely and warm today? It feels good. Yeah. They say it's a bad thing, and yet, you know, here we are in Grahamstown, sweating in t-shirts.
Yeah, it's
what do you
scary.
Have to say about this, Kate?
That's cool. Thanks, Angel.
I don't know. My esteemed friend here,
yes,
Kate, has an opinion.
Right under the
bus. I mean, I think Grahamstown's weather system is sort of outside of all the weather on Earth. So I don't think you can judge anything by Grahamstown's weather.
It's like the island in Lost.
Yeah,
like
it is.
Or UCT in Cape Town. I always found that UCT seemed to operate on its own. Mm. Like you'd be going into like Varsity and like driving through just torrential rain and you'll get there and it'll be sunny, or the complete opposite.
It's because there's like meteorology students just like touching buttons and they're practical. So that's my theory.
Okay.
That's very true about UCT. Good. I agree. I went there too. Kate doesn't know that reference.
No.
I don't know that, but that's what we
said. But we remember you from not going there. Okay, so we've answered the big question for today. That's good. Thank you very much.
That is good.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Do you have a different big question every day?
Yes.
Yeah. Climate change is what? So we just
this
said that
this is the biggest one that we've asked. And it was a bit of a cheeky one, too.
It was difficult. I mean, I think what it has done is also give Donald Trump more, I don't know.
More stuff to tweet about.
Well, he's the only one. He left the summit.
Yeah.
But you know what's cool about this Donald Trump? This is more serious. But the fact that he's now left this Paris Agreement, the Chinese government, this is their moment to be the good guys. So they've actually doubled their green whatever their green pledge. So they're putting in more billions to making themselves go green because they're like, ha, this is our moment.
Sweet.
That is good.
To
so
not be the global baddies.
Silver lining. I do.
Every cloud has a toxic lining. China's air.
I obviously, global warming is a bad thing.
Mm.
But do you think, like, at what stage will we just get rid of the seasons? That's always bugged me, is because living in Cape Town, we grew up in a junior school where they sort of had very clear, like, September is when spring starts, and then you'll have whatever 3 months of that, and then you go into summer.
Very neatly divided.
It's so blurry. Eventually, you think they're going to have some sort of meeting where they go, "All right, we have sort of hottish weather, and then slightly less hottish weather, and that's just the two seasons that you're going to experience."
Yeah, couple of days of rain, and then back to boiling hot. Yeah.
Cape Town's already been like it's been summer forever.
Yeah, we've had no rain.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, it's not good.
No.
I mean, it's not great for the polar bears.
No.
But Dan Cummings has a great bit about Dan Cummings has a great bit about that. He's like, we've got them on film. Like, you're never going to see one in real life anyway.
I'm so glad you brought up that opinion, because I've always wondered, what is the big travesty of just losing one or two animals along the way? It's like, I've never seen a dodo, and I'm actually quite happy I wasn't around when dinosaurs were around.
Exactly.
I'm quite glad that they're sort of out of the picture. I don't have to sort of
fight
them off.
Scott used to talk about that. He used to say, why do we care about the rhino? I've never seen a dinosaur, and I'm not angry at my grandpa.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Why is there dust in Grahamstown? Is it like a dust factory somewhere around
it's
here?
Just crumbling to pieces, this city.
Yeah.
A policeman just walked in.
Because it's dry.
Thanks, ma'am. There's been no rain.
Yeah, that's
no rain.
That's why
it's
I stopped.
But we have no rain in Cape Town, ma'am, and it's not dusty. So. We've got they've got nature.
That's true.
We have a mountain.
Donkeys.
We only have nurture.
Donkeys are dusty.
Yeah, the donkeys are super dusty.
We like to do a quick fire questions with our guests. So we'll ask you a couple of questions. I'll ask Angel questions. Dole will ask Kate questions.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And there are points given. So some of these these questions might not seem like they have answers, but we have
We have answers to them. Yes.
And the winner will win.
The winner
what is
will
the prize?
Win a choice of the coveted white sugar packet or brown sugar packet.
I feel like
Dylan just
made it racial.
Pulled out of the sugar container on the table.
Every day.
All right, Angel.
Yes.
How often is your name written as Angle Campy?
At least once a day.
That's great, because I wrote it once today as Angle Campy, so you get a point.
All right, Kate Pinchuk.
Yeah.
the most obvious question up front. Okay. How many pins could a pin chuck if a pin chuck could chuck pins?
Like 12.
Oh my word, I've got here like 12.
Amazing.
No, it's a lie, I don't, it's wrong. You got it wrong.
Well, that seems unfair, but okay.
Do you think that's just another name for like pickup sticks, pin chuck?
That's fine.
It's a little joke.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Thanks.
I'll allow it.
Angel, tea in a teacup or mug?
Mug, the biggest mug possible.
Yeah, there we go. That's definitely right. Going to give you that.
Yeah, you might not think these have answers. Okay, what is your favorite poster that you've seen at the festival?
Oh, it's such a toss-up. I'm going to say...
I haven't seen that, actually.
Angel with horns.
Angel with horns.
It's not me.
No, it's not Angel. Or
it sounds like it could be.
Or Moneymaker Reloaded.
Yes, there we go. You got
Moneymaker
it.
Moneymaker is Moneymaker. The best, yeah. Yes.
They've got about 7 posters, but everyone knows that they're here at the festival.
And it's at the NGKAK.
Ooh.
If you look at their venue, it's the NGKAK, which is amazing.
The NGKAK would do anything these days to get people back. Angel, what is bothering Mark Lottering?
What's bothering Mark Lottering? The fact that when he dyes his hair, he has to leave that gray part. It's very complicated.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject for Simon. He's got gray parts that don't dye out.
I feel like look that's at his a personal attack, so I'm not going to be
slander. What is bothering him? What was your answer?
Just the fact that he doesn't have a TV show anymore.
I feel like that's more. That stings a little more.
Okay, Kate, why... Yeah. And you might actually know this. Why did I dream that I had Ryan DeVilliers hair after seeing Jack and Jill? It's so lovely.
Because Ryan DeVilliers hair is the best hair.
That is correct. Why? How does he get such lovely long hair?
Spawn that way.
Okay.
I have a theory about that because he looks a lot like my hairdresser. I have like a hairdresser that he's like a Meals and Wheels hairdresser where he just comes to your place. haircuts. And so maybe it's the same one of the same person. Yeah. He just knows how to.
I think he looks a bit like Jared Leto when he's on stage.
He does.
But then we met him afterwards and I was a bit like, oh.
Maybe like, not.
I did genuinely dream after seeing that thing that I had his hair. So anyway,
I'm going to tell him.
A little bit of insight into how my head works.
Meet your heroes. All right. Angel, would you have rather been in the Tanner family from Full House? Or the Lambert/Foster family from Step by Step?
I never saw Step by Step, so I'm going to have to say Tanner. Also, because all the hot dads, I don't know.
Yeah, all the hot dads.
They were like...
Bob Saget.
But Uncle Joey and what's the... John Stamos.
Yeah, John Stamos. John Stamos was very hot. He's hot enough.
I crushed on all of them when I was a little girl.
Yeah, I dreamt I had his hair once.
Maybe this is more about you.
Wait, hang on. Neither Bob Saget or Joey were particularly good. Like, it was only really John Stamos that...
I don't know. Uncle Joey had that puppet.
He was cool.
I've never seen this. And
so you're
I'm
going to Conrad Clark's show and going, Chester Missing is very attractive.
Yeah. Remember, these shows were on when I was about 8 years old.
I'm with you, Angel.
I wasn't
thinking. So the standards for hotness are like, this dude has a puppet.
He will entertain me in the bedroom.
Well, luckily you got that answer right, because Full House was definitely more superior.
Why? What's wrong with Step by Step?
Ah, just
annoying.
It wasn't as good as Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. So.
Oh, see, you also have your own.
Because they were about like 3 when
exactly.
You
that's the problem.
The tables turn. Okay, Kate, do you believe in fairies?
No.
Ooh, that means just they died.
Yeah, but they didn't because they don't believe in them. So
no, I can't give you that one. I'm sorry.
There's all the fairies die. You clap one, you save
they
their
come
lives.
Alive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe in them. I believe in fairies.
Trying to clap with a mic in my hand.
There are 3 potential answers to this next question, which is lucky for you. So I think you will get it. Who wrote Oliver Twist?
I mean. I got the assistance from the audience.
That is
very helpful heckle.
I was going to make something funny, but yes, Charles Dickens is correct.
That is
it
correct.
It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. That's a tale of two cities. Yes. I know, I'm joking.
Still Dickens.
Artful Dodger.
Our audience member played a part in Oliver Twist. That's good. So you've won the point there. It is Charles Dickens. I would have also accepted I Don't Know. And I would have actually also accepted Simon, because I wrote Oliver Twist just now in my notebook.
Oh, very clever. But Chuck Berry wrote Can You Do the Oliver Twist? Which...
Look, you've vied for a bonus point there. I'm not going to give it to you because that's cheeky. But
the judge's decision is final. Kate, what's so great about the Beatles?
I feel like my questions are a lot harder. And just like, who wrote Oliver Twist? You're like, what's so great about the Beatles?
Yeah.
I mean, is that even really a question?
Well, mm. I framed it as a question.
Yeah, that's you did. Yeah. Yeah, no, John Lennon, he was good. Ringo was good. George. Yeah. And
do you know what?
The this other one.
You can I assist? It right. Can you I can, assist?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what the best part of the Beatles is that I only just recently realized that their band name is a pun.
Yes,
because
right?
it's spelled beat
on the beat,
like the beat.
What?
And they're the Beatles.
I just always assumed it was a different spelling overseas.
Yeah,
you see,
I thought
now.
It was about like a maybe VW Beetle.
Exactly. And then I realized they're just punny,
they're
and
just
now I love
punny.
Them even more.
Oh. Actually, what's so great about the Beatles is if you ever see their interviews, they're yeah. just hilarious.
Well, you've got it right. Anything positive was going to be the answer. Yeah.
All right, Angel. What is Alan Committee's deepest, darkest secret?
That he has a photo of me in a red string bikini on his phone.
All right.
It is true.
I'm going to give you a point for that.
We'll bring that up when we interview him.
It's a long story from a comedy
in
show.
In a couple of days.
Ask him. He'll probably show you.
Okay, Kate. I asked Stuart Cairns the same question yesterday on the podcast.
Well, we are
how do you get
person.
Such lovely body in your hair?
Being Jewish.
Cool. Yes. I'll give you that.
Yes,
because it would be a hate crime to not.
What
give
did Stuart say?
He just said conditioner.
That's boring.
Yeah.
I didn't give him the point, but you can get the point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Angel, have you ever high-fived anyone who's missing a finger?
Not that I was aware of.
Yeah. Have you ever hand?
Not before the high five.
Have you ever handshaken someone who's missing a finger?
No.
All right. Sounds like you're a bit disablest here. Got something against people that are missing fingers. But I'll give
actually,
you
my dad had half a finger.
So I'll accept half a finger.
So yes.
only half a finger?
Yeah,
well, actually, I'll give you one.
He was a bass player. He was a jazz musician, and he played all the different instruments, and he used to pluck the whatever, dong, 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 so much that they had to amputate the tip of his
what?
Index finger because he got this
wow,
huge
we have not
abscess.
Been playing guitar long enough.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Your finger's amputated.
And then he became a drummer after that. He was like, I'll pick up something
well,
else.
I'll give you half a point for half a finger, okay. So that's
okay. Kate, what was your favorite pastime as a young child?
I used to climb trees a lot.
Oh, yes!
Was that the
amazing.
Right answer?
That's the answer.
Oh my God.
That's so great.
Wow.
I was planning to ask this to everyone, assuming that no one would ever get the right answer, which is climbing trees.
I would have said climbing trees too.
Did you ever get stuck in a tree?
Brilliant.
I read up trees, so my grand couldn't find them.
I didn't get stuck. I was a very good tree climber. I didn't get stuck in trees. But I did sort of dangerously swing down trees. Actually,
what's
did I get
the worst
stuck in a tree?
Tree-based accident you've ever had then?
Oh, I once fell out of a tree, like, on my back on some concrete, oof. Which wasn't great.
Yeah. I love your childhood.
It was
is
good.
That why you're not as tall as you should be?
Unfortunately, this is as tall as I was supposed to be.
Oh, dear.
All right, Angel, complete the chorus. Dancing in the moonlight, everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a...
Dancing in the moonlight. I can't remember. It's such a... Mine. Lovely tea party.
Ooh, you're also wrong.
No point.
He knows his Dickens, but not his top loader.
He's leaving. That's it.
Please,
I'm out.
Please finish the lyric for me.
All right. I don't think, Kate, I'll give this to you a full bonus question if you can get it.
A fine and natural sight.
You are correct.
Oh my word.
All right, Dill, you're going to have to add an extra
I feel
point
like it
thing.
Should say it's such a lovely tea party, though. It would be better.
It's such a wonderful delight.
I just really hate that song.
Yeah.
It's an unpopular opinion, I think.
Yeah,
a devil's advocate.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
it feels good, doesn't it?
You see, what they've done in that song is they've had the audacity and gall to repeat that chorus about 64 times in a row. It's not that good a chorus.
Yeah, it's
you
not
can't
good enough
that.
To get repeated that many times.
Anyway, let's carry on. Okay, Kate, name a famous doctor.
Dr. Jekyll.
Perfect.
Ooh.
That's great. I would have accepted Dr. Dre, Dr. Phil, or Dr. Pepper.
Dr.
You,
Quinn, medicine
would
woman.
Would you have accepted Dr. Steph?
No.
I said a famous doctor.
I don't accept Dr. Steph, actually.
Angel, what is the smallest audience you've ever performed to? We'll give you points if you manage to beat our smallest audience you've ever performed to.
I used to have a joke that I performed to a parrot. I mean, I've performed to about four people in Long Street.
All right. I'm going to give you a point for that. We've performed, we can one up you there. We performed to half that amount.
You performed two people.
Me too.
We matched the exact amount of people on stage as they were off stage.
Yeah.
It's an interesting moment. But they got married afterwards.
Yeah, there were a couple at least. So it wasn't like one person in the front, one person in the shadows in the back.
Well, if they got married after that, then you really should advertise that.
You should have played it that way.
Yeah.
How was your two people? Were they nice? Did it go well?
No, one of them liked me and the other one told me after I came off stage, you were pathetic.
Wow.
Which I thought was rude for like a middle-aged woman drinking on a Wednesday.
I also think it's kind of rude if you know that you're
Could
one
I
of two audience
better?
Members.
Yes. I really think I did the best with what I had. Yeah.
I would like to make honorable mention to a time I performed to a room full of people, but most of them were asleep. and the only person listening was, in fact, the barman. And this was in New York, but it was 4:20, which they take very seriously there, the 20th of April. So everyone smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd had passed out by the time I got on stage. Even the host had fallen asleep on the bar.
Oh,
that the barman was reading out the lineup, going,
that's
okay,
amazing.
Next it's Angel. And I was just
so technically you've played to one then?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So you win.
There was Jeez. Just stone people staring at me that I was like, they're not here.
Yeah,
no,
that doesn't count.
All right, people. Kate, what is your least favorite board game?
I'm not a fan of Scrabble.
Okay. Why is that?
Everyone takes too long to make a turn.
That is a good point. That is the worst thing about Scrabble.
Yeah.
But it's not the worst board game. The worst board game is Snakes and Ladders.
No, do you think so?
Yeah. There's literally nothing, like there's no skill or chance involved.
True.
All you do is roll the dice. You don't even get to choose whether to climb up or go down.
That's true.
It's so much like life.
No, but that's
like life.
It's not. You might as well just take the board away and just roll dice with your friends.
Like, 30 what is seconds the point? Is the best board game.
Yeah, that's true.
Honorable mention.
The best board game.
I'd
say the best board game is probably, changes in my mind all the time. Have you ever played Exploding Kittens?
No,
it's
what
really
is that?
Fun.
That's a card game, Simon.
Oh, I think card games are sort of board games. It is.
There's a board
game. Minus a point from yourself.
Minus a point from my own imaginary score.
I played Battleships recently again, which was really
fun.
That's quite cool.
That's a goodie.
For an old school throwback.
Angel, what is the first ingredient in sea salt?
Tuna.
Incorrect. Angel, seriously, the clue's in the title. It's sea salt.
The only ingredient. Okay. Let's end on a bombshell here. Kate, who has a bigger heart? Oprah or Ellen?
Do either of them have hearts? Don't the Illuminati get their hearts taken away at birth?
You know, this is interesting. I had that exact phrase as my answer. No. It's Ellen.
Why?
Ooh.
Because she's more generous.
Do you think so?
Oprah gave everyone a card.
Ellen, degenerous.
Yeah,
we wanted to end on a nice little joke there. She's generous.
But Oprah lets you win for free.
That's
true. She saves me. Hooray.
Oprah also, surely her heart fluctuates in size depending on
her size.
On her size, yeah.
Guys.
Yo, I knew you were going to say something mean about Oprah.
No, it's not mean.
Hold on.
I'm going to mic drop and run out of here.
You imply that she doesn't have a heart.
But I imply that they both didn't have hearts.
Right, so you were
fair. I didn't do favorites.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Kate, you've got a whopping 7 out of 10 for this round.
Ah, fantastic.
That makes Kate the winner, because Angel, you sadly only have 6.5 points.
That's a sea salt question, Angel.
If I hadn't said tuna. That's tuna.
So
I'm never eating fish again.
A brown packet or a white packet?
Can I have both?
No. You can have both. What do you think this is?
I feel like this is a loaded question.
I mean, technically,
it's a racial question
over and
now.
Take anything,
would you like
but
brown or white sugar?
No one's ever taken
this
long.
Can I have sweetener?
Oh, there we go.
Thank
the
you.
Best of both worlds.
All right.
Yeah,
the avatar.
I want the avatar one.
Normally, we would ask you to recommend some other shows at the festival, but what I actually really want to know is, Angel's brought her mom to the festival. What is your mom's favorite festival show?
My mom's favorite festival show was The Plot Hole last
year.
Awesome.
And
she
loved it. She saw everything and she loved it. And now they've finished and they have the new show, The Book Detective, but it's already wrapped. So unfortunately, my mom can't see Wesley and Stuart doing it.
I think The Plot Hole's still going.
She's seen it already.
And it's never going to be as good as that first time.
But we might revisit it anyway when we get sick of interpretive dance.
It's a classic.
Kate, if your mom was here, what would her favorite show be?
She is here.
Is she here?
No, I told her she couldn't come to this.
She could have seen you win
your
a prize.
Your mother listens to you.
Yeah. She'd probably say her favorite show was Jack and Jill because I wrote it and I'm in it.
That's a good motherly thing to say.
Yeah.
No, my mom didn't say Devil's Advocate.
although she did. She did. Who did she see that she read? She didn't really like Broken English.
Right. They're great.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
And where can we see your next couple of shows? If anyone is listening live to this or listening to the podcast and planning to see some shows in the last couple of days.
I'm on stage tonight at 10 p.m. with Devil's Advocate.
At the
Masonic Back.
Great.
And I've got, tomorrow, I don't know, I have to check my flyer, but I'm on every day until Saturday. My last show is Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find my business card so I can remember what my shows are.
Cool. Well, in the meantime, Simon and I are the Brothers Cheap, and we've got a show somewhere. We've actually not mentioned our own show once in this podcast, and I think we should keep it that way. We do have a show here at the festival.
And it's great. It somewhere. I saw it yesterday.
We won't tell you when it is.
Thanks for coming. That was nice.
You brought a child that's...
The child is over there. Yeah, she's a theater baby. Her name's Lula. Shout out to Len and Lula.
The child, basically, to put this into context, we have this section of our show where I tell a very long story. And it's kind of the idea is to spend a lot of time telling a story with a very, very weak punchline.
Yeah.
And at the moment when I say, and someone said in a soft sound voice, and I'm about to say my punchline, the baby made a noise.
Yeah. Complete silence, and the baby goes, and the audience erupted. Yeah. And we completely broke character.
Yeah.
Because we're very so po-faced funny. And arty at the time. And then we had this conundrum of like, that's way funnier than what we're about to say. And we know that. We own that.
Yeah, yeah.
This punchline isn't even strong. It's not meant to be.
It's a very difficult moment to be in, but we're glad it happened.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was
so great.
It makes every show
the
different.
The beauty of stand up versus if you have to stick to it.
Yes.
Because imagine you're doing this like Romeo, wherefore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can't incorporate the baby.
Totally. You can't.
Right, so where can we see Jack and Jill?
Okay, so Jack and Jill's on at the Masonic Theater, Masonic Front, and it's on the 7th at 2 and the 8th at 6. Those are our last two shows. So, yeah, and I'm also doing Down to a Sunless Sea, which is an immersive installation.
Cool.
Which is where you go inside the sort of installation artwork and there's people and it's quite an experience. It's very different. That's on at PJ's Basement every day at 7 p.m. So,
You're thinking, the whole time I've been wondering what Kate would look like with udders. Make your way down to that installation.
Well, we haven't seen Under the Salty Sea. Sorry, I forget the name already. That's so bad of me. I'm terrible.
The tuna sea.
But we have seen Jack and Jill and highly recommend it. Go check that out. As well as Devil's Advocate. Are you guys taking the shows anywhere after the festival? Will you be able to see them? Podcast listeners might want to know.
Yeah, well, Devil's Advocate, this is certainly the teething ground. Every show has been very, very different because I'm trying new material and I'm trying new structures and trying things that don't really work. So the next show I'm scrapping. So by the end of this week, I'm hoping that I have a solid enough show and then I will tour Cape Town, Baxter, Joburg, everywhere.
Awesome. So look out for that. And Jack and Jill?
Also, this is sort of the first run of this thing so we can see what works and what doesn't. And then we're going to rework it and hopefully do, Cape Town, hopefully Joburg.
Sweet.
Depending on how much money we have and who will let us perform in their theaters, we may be you.
How would people find that kind of information? They find you online?
Yeah, the best starting point for me is just yesreallyangel.com. But Twitter, yesreallyangel. Instagram, yesreallyangel. Can't go wrong with yesreallyangel.
Okay.
Great.
And Kate?
Well, I mean, obviously, as you may have heard, my Twitter's not that active.
Instagram.
Instagram. I don't know. I'm trying to sort out a website type situation because I realize that's essential. But I think we're making a Jack and Jill page. I don't know if we made the page or not. Yo, guys, I don't know. I'm going to make a page somewhere on the internet.
We will find out where it is and post it on your behalf.
Thank you so much.
Before you get that sorted out.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. This is super fun.
We'll not be here tomorrow at 10 a.m., but we'll be here the next day with, who is it? Alan Committee,
Alan Committee, yes.
So asking about my photo.
Bikini photo. I want to know. I'm going to be tuning in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.